not distracted so that you won't miss a revelation. Because one word quickened to you makes a lot of difference in your Christian faith. One word quickened to you. And I want to pick our text borrowing a scripture, a word from Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. And one interesting thing I note about Malachi chapter 4 is that that is the last prophet. Hallelujah. The last prophet. The last chapter in the Old Testament before grace. And where we are picking is also the last two verses. And what we are talking about is the last event before the millennium. Praise God. Now Malachi chapter 4, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." I repeat, verse 5. That's where I'm picking my text from. "Behold, I," this is the Lord speaking, "is thus said the Lord. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And in explaining this scripture, I try to let you know there are 2 days in this verse. Please catch it. There are 2 days in this verse. There is the great day and there is the dreadful day of the Lord. The great day is the day of salvation. And it's not a 24-hour day, it's a period known as a day. The day of redemption. This is that great day. It's great. It's great. Why is it great? Because the God of creation, in Isaiah chapter 53, the Lord was speaking in prophecy there. He said, "Who will believe our report?" And then he said, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And what is the arm of the Lord revealed? It is the hand of the Almighty God that has been stretched forth. To who? To mankind. For what? For salvation. And how did he, when he stretched forth his hand, he gave something. For God so loved the world that he gave, in stretching forth his hand, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the great day is that day that we are still in now. It started from AD 33. Hallelujah. When Christ went to the cross on Calvary, shed his precious blood, and that veil that separated man from God because of our sins, we got separated, depicted by what we saw in the building of the temple, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, it separated us, and only one man could enter there, the high priest, after a lot of purification processes. That veil, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross on Calvary and said, "It is finished," that is the trouble between God and man has been settled. Amen. The hand of the enemy, the satanic influence and power over the children of God, it is finished. And as soon as he said it is finished, he granted access to the Holy of Holies. That is why the veil was torn into two. And what nobody could enter before, everyone could now enter. And then he said, come boldly, Apostle Paul. Don't come with fear anymore. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that ye might obtain mercy in the time of need. Amen. That is the great day of the Lord. But that scripture is a prophecy saying, before the great and dreadful day, before the great day of the Lord, he, God, will send Elijah the prophet. And Matthew chapter 11 lets us know, and Matthew chapter 17 let us know, that Elijah that came before the great day of the Lord was who? John the Baptist. So it was not Elijah coming, it was the anointing coming on a man before that the Lord, the coming of the Lord, he was sent to prepare the way. There is a second day known as the dreadful day of the Lord. This dreadful day of the Lord, church, we follow the great day of the Lord. After the great day of the Lord, there will be the dreadful day of the Lord. When you say something is dreadful, it means something to be feared, horrible, terribly horrible, is dreaded. Is dreaded. The Bible refers to that day as the day of the Lord. The dreadful day of the Lord. Church, and that is our topic today, the day of the Lord. We want to look at that day. Now, that day, in actual sense, has nothing to do with you and I that should go in the rapture. It does not affect us. These activities which are read in the scripture that will take place, it takes place after the rapture. After the rapture, those who will be left behind, who will not go in the rapture, that is what they will face. But why do I have to let us know this? Because the only way to escape that day is to make sure you go in the rapture. And why I have to emphasize this message at this point in time is to call the attention of the people to something that is definite to take place, to remove careless Christian living. See? You must, at this time of your Christian faith, be able to stand confidently and say, I am sure if the Lord Jesus Christ comes, I'll be with him. I am sure. It's a decision. Years back in 1990, I remember a revelation I had. We gather like this and we're expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was supposed to come for something. It's like, you know, we all gathered, he's supposed to come for something. We're expecting to come for something. Not the rapture. It was not the rapture. And I was so anxious to see how he will look like. And all of a sudden I saw a bright light that shone. And we were all gathering in a hall. I was so anxious to see him. I wanted to know how he looks like. That when I saw that light, I sneaked out of the hall to stand somewhere where I can see him. And when that bright light shone, out of that light, he came out. I discovered that is scriptural. He's a great light. Out of that light, he came out. And I was looking, I said, hey, now did Jesus be this? Hey. And then the people that came to welcome him, the great men of God that came to welcome him, They were welcoming him into, and then passing by, he saw me standing, looking at him. He turned and said, he called my name, Moses, are you still with me? And I found myself, I was telling him, I said, nothing will separate me from you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, nothing will separate me. I kept emphasizing that nothing. I closed my eyes. Nothing. You better know, nothing will separate me from you. And he smiled and he went into the hall. I came out of that revelation and I was worried. Why will Jesus Christ ask, are you still with me? That was in 1990. I told my wife, my friends around, I said, I am disturbed about that question the Lord Jesus Christ asked me. Are you still with me? It means I began to get myself prepared, ready. It means something is going to happen that will try to take my faith away from him. So I was prepared. Where is he coming from? Amen. Hallelujah. You must be able to come to a stage in your life where you should be certain, both physically and in the spirit, that you have taken a final and permanent decision to follow Jesus Christ. But not too many people have made that decision. Not too many people. So many of us just see Christianity as religion. Just religion. You know what I mean by religion? Just religion. It's a way of life. I must be either a Guru Maharaj or Hindu or Muslim or Christian. So, make I choose Christian. So, that's why you are going to church. No revelation. Nothing. And how miserable you will be when at the end you don't make it to heaven. How miserable. But you know what? Sincerely speaking, I believe that you are a candidate for heaven. That's why you found this address here now. Nobody comes here by accident. I believe with my heart. Amen. I believe with my heart. Because I don't gather people here to advertise miracles, signs, and wonders. I gather people here to show them the way to heaven. That's my ministry. I am sure there is heaven and there is hell. You see? And to wake up somebody to take your eternal destination more seriously, we have to say it in a way that will call your attention, to make you to be more serious than some of us are now. When the Bible, it was Christ himself saying, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's Christ himself saying it. You know, he was not playing with words. Some people will say, yeah. They don't go. I see they here. Amen. And then it will be too late. So it's a Bible study. I'm not preaching. I just want to read to you what the Bible says concerning that day. Let the Bible speak. There is the day of the Lord. There is the day of the Lord. The day that Christ will come. This time, it is not for salvation. It is a day to let the world know who he really is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is the third coming of Christ. For those hearing us for the first time, there are three comings of Jesus Christ. The first one has come and gone. He came to purchase our salvation. He came to shed his blood. He came to pay the price of redemption. And he paid it on the cross on Calvary. Finished that, he is gone. The second coming is what we are expecting now. He's coming to catch away his bride. He's coming for the rapture. And the Bible tells us, he won't step his feet on the ground. He will hang on the air. Amen. And those of us, the dead in Christ, the Bible said they will rise first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16, 17, 18. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive, we will be changed in a moment, and together we shall meet him in the clouds, and forever be with him. But let me tell you, this second coming, only those going in the rapture will see him. Nobody else will see him. It's a secret catching away. You will just discover some people have disappeared. The whole world, people will still be going to church, but the rapture has taken place. That's why he said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm telling you, because the Bible says he's coming as a thief in the night. That is when people are not expecting. But more importantly, the second coming, he is coming, and only those going in the rapture will see him. And why will it be only those going in the rapture? There are certain things they will know that others will not know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When the bridegroom is preparing for their wedding day with the bride, there are certain things the bride knows. The bridegroom tells the bride that no other woman will know. One of the things, she will know the hour, she will know the date, she will know the venue, the type of cloth to wear, and all other arrangements before any other person will know. She has already known it and gets herself prepared. She looks forward to it. It is called the rapturing faith. As the day gets closer, because of what she knows, her interest in her father's house, her mother's house, is getting faded more and more. Faded, faded, faded. Hallelujah. The room they gave her in her father's house, she knows her husband will soon come and take her away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every day she's folding her clothes. Every day she's dusting her box. She's ready to move. But other girls that are not yet ready for marriage, they are still relaxed. They are preparing another mirror in the room. They are preparing another thing there, but she is dashing out some things she can't take to her husband's house. She's dashing out the paints. She's dashing out the attachment because her husband doesn't like attachment. Hallelujah. She's dashing out the paint. Can't take that home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But other girls at home, they are saying, if you don't want time, give me, give me, give me now, give me, give me, give me now. Take, 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 take. I am married to Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And so that is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the second coming. There is the third coming. That is what we are facing now. This topic. That's what we are looking at in the scripture. After the rapture, in the topic we will take again shortly as you continue to come for our Friday Vigils Bible study session on the divine timetable. We look at that topic that I titled the divine timetable. The timetable that God gave for salvation from beginning up till after the white throne judgment, to the white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Part of the program, the stage where the rapture strikes. After the rapture strikes, hallelujah, we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ according to that program for how many years? 7 years. After the 7 years, what will we be doing in heaven within those 7 years? We will be facing the judgment seat of Christ, the believers, doing what? Account for the gift that he gave you. Amen. It is judgment unto reward. During this 7 years period, we will be planning with Jesus Christ how we are coming to rule this earth for 1,000 years. So he will be planning you. We go to the East Nigeria. You'll be governor, Eastern region. You will go to the West, Western region. You'll be governor. You will go to North in Nigeria. Those of you from Nigeria, because Christ has his bride all over the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every country, there will be the bride of Christ there. And depending on what you have earned for yourself, we determine how large a portion will be given to you. Because in the parable of the talent, what did he say? He came and said, oh yeah, account for what you did with the talent. That is the gifts you have. And then one that he gave 5 talent, he said, your 5 talent that you gave me has gained 5 more, making how many? 10. He said, you've been faithful with 5. He said, go rule over 10 cities. You see? And when will you rule over 10 cities? It's in the millennium. Though he will now crown us. That is the crowning. Give everybody his crown. Show you what you'll be doing for 1,000 years. After he has crowned us as kings within those 7 years, then we will gather in a ceremony up in heaven and crown him as the King of Kings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is when he will be King of Kings, and the headquarters will be in Jerusalem, according to the Bible. He will sit at the temple in Jerusalem while we are scattered all over the world. That is his kingdom. When he was, his first coming, because they knew that he should be a king, they wanted to crown him a king. And he said, no, it's not yet my time. My kingdom is not of this world. That is, it's not this type of system. I will come and be ruler. His own system is coming. His own kingdom is coming. And his own kingdom is the millennial reign. Hallelujah. And so while we are there for 7 years doing all this, celebrating and looking at each other, oh boy, you made it. Sister, you made it. Congrats. It's celebration, 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 celebration. Then, how many? Papa give you how many? How many cities? Where he say they go rule? Where they post you go? Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While when it is over, within that period of 7 years, the first 3.5 years while we are gone, there is a peace pact that is entered. This is in Daniel chapter 9. between the Antichrist, he will be known as a man of peace. And so he will be the one now that will be in charge of the whole world. But while he's doing that, he will move from Rome to Jerusalem to stay in the temple. It's in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. To be worshipped. But trouble will start. Hallelujah. The Lord will raise, and remember, I'm giving a brief, just a summary, because I'll say this so that you'll understand one or two things I will say when we shall be reading some scriptures later. Praise the Lord. Remember that Israel as a nation now has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the elect that the Bible called the remnant, here and here, that believe him. But as a nation of Israel, they have rejected him. And it is because they rejected him, that is why the gospel came to us. To pick a wife for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Romans chapter 11 lets us know that blindness, that God blinded them. And you know where he blinded them is in Isaiah chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That blindness, Romans chapter 11, Apostle Paul said the blindness is no total blindness. He says blindness in part has come to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles they come in. When that last elect of Gentile comes in, he stands up from the mercy seat in Revelation chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Salvation is over for the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Salvation is over. We move. The rapture takes place. Now, no more salvation. No more Holy Ghost for the Gentiles. He now moves and faces the Jews. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He faces the Jews. And while the gospel is going to them, the first thing he does is in Revelation chapter 11, he will anoint two men. Those two prophets, with the anointing of Moses and Elijah. Amen. Those two prophets will begin to preach to the Jews. While the man of peace that came from Rome, the whole world, they are looking at him as a man of peace. But the Jews, the two prophets, we tell the whole Jews that that man is the Antichrist. What we know now, the Jews we know. What do we know now? We know who the Antichrist is. Praise God. One brother said he vexed his first time of coming to vigil here. He said, I was talking against the Catholic Church. So he vexed. I said that he went. Why did he come back again? He said, but he just couldn't stay. There's still something that was still dragging him to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of us fight for our church instead of fighting for your own salvation. A lot of you fight for church. Is there a Bride Assembly Church in heaven? Is there a Chosen Church in heaven? No. Redeemed in heaven? No. Catholic in heaven? No. So what are you fighting for? If you get to heaven, will you go to heaven because you were a Bride Assembly member? No. And that is why I have no apology when I call the name of any church. And I will call and continue to call. Praise God. The Bible did not say we should go and establish churches. He said, go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We know who the Antichrist is. According to this Bible, and I can trace it from Daniel chapter 7, chapter 8, and I can come down to Revelation chapter 13, and I can come down to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I can go to chapter 17, and I can prove it that the Pope of Rome is the office, the Pope of Rome is the Antichrist the Bible is talking about. Don't worry. After the rapture, you will know. You will know. Those two prophets will be telling the Jews that this man, that people are saying, this, he's the Antichrist. Oh. And the Bible says, God himself will raise 144,000 Jews. He will seal them on their forehead. What is sealing on the forehead? He will grant them understanding. He will give them the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jehovah Witness say only 144,000 will be saved. It's a lie. They don't know Bible. Only 144,000 will be saved. What of the rest of us? The Bible said tens and tens of thousands that they saw in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not 144,000, millions were seen in heaven. Amen. Please, Catholic, don't be angry with me. Anything I tell you, I prove it from the Bible. So, you can send me a text, I will call you, I will give you an appointment, I will sit down, I will show you the office of the Pope in the Bible. And that is where the Antichrist is coming from. Praise God. Because the Bible gave us all the clues. All the clues. All the clues. The Bible even tells us where he's stationed. He said he's stationed in a city surrounded by seven hills, seven mountains. And there are only two cities that are surrounded by seven mountains, Jerusalem and Rome. Rome is the city that is surrounded by seven cities. And above all, he said that here is wisdom. He has a number. And that number is the number of a man. And that number is 666. And if you know the normal Roman figure, if you look at the title of that he bears, if you break it down to the Roman figure, calculate it, it's 666. And that is the only man that has that. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody angry with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please don't be angry with me. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. I'm not a politician. You see, it's a politician that will go to church and go to mosque again. And go to Ogun Festival and go and say, we are one, we are one. In his heart, he knows we are not one, no. But because he wants your vote, he said, we are one, we are one, we are one, we are one. But not a preacher, we are not one, we are two. I'm following Jesus, you are following devil. So we are two. But I'm telling you, amen. I'm saying this because I don't know. If that last group of people whose names are written in the book of life, they are here, sitting down here today. And after you have come in, the door will close. And we may not have this opportunity again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. After 3.5 years, the Antichrist will be bearing it. Bearing what those 144,000, they are going around the world and re-echoing what those two prophets are saying. And then the man will say, he don't do. He will stand up and say, it's okay. He will grab those two prophets and kill them. In Revelation chapter 11 is there. He will kill them. Their bodies will be on the ground. The whole world will see them. You know, this Bible was written several years ago. As at that time, there was no even car. Eh? Now, but the Bible said the whole world will see them. How will they see them? It will be by satellite television. For the whole world to see something happening in Jerusalem, and the whole world will see it. So God knew that there will be satellite television. Some technology that will make the whole world to see. They will be in the field. They will see these two people that have been troubling the whole world, turning water to blood, stopping rain from falling, causing pestilences. Remember, it is the anointing of Moses and Elijah, those two prophets. And why? And he said, they will be there for 3.5 days. Then the spirit of life will come back to them. Amen. They will come back to life. And the power of God will lift them up. They will go in the rapture. The whole world will see them go in. After that, blessed be the name of the Lord, the persecution will start. The Bible, Jeremiah called it the time of Jacob's trouble. That is what the Bible calls it, the great tribulation. Where the Jews will undergo such persecution that they have never undergone before on earth. By that man that was known as a holy, 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 he will manifest who he is. Satan will not come and incarnate him. Like God came and incarnated a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will come and incarnate that one. And now you will see Satan in human form walking now on earth. And you either take that mark or you will not be able to buy or sell anything. And that is when the foolish virgins will say, Nala, we will not take it. And they will kill you. I'm speaking Bible. I'm only summarizing. We will look at it detail by detail. And after that, praise the Lord, for 3.5 years, that trouble takes place. Revelation chapter 12 says that woman in Revelation chapter 12 is Israel. Out of persecution, the Lord keeps them somewhere to save them for a space of time. 3.5 years. After that, while they are there persecuting and doing that, the 7-year period will lapse. Then suddenly, Christ will not come down. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But before Christ comes, something will take place that the Antichrist will gather all the nations of the east and everywhere. They will gather for a battle. That great battle is called Armageddon. Hallelujah. So that they will stop Christ from coming. Have you? So that Christ will not come and take over the world. And that is where the Antichrist will see his end. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That is the third coming of Christ. Coming to take over the earth for 1,000 years. Within the period he will come, before he starts to reign with his saints, when he's coming, we are all coming together with him. A lot of things will happen within a period that will shake the whole world, shake the whole earth. That period is what is known as the day of the Lord. That period is not yet hellfire. Hellfire will come up after 1,000 years. This one now is for Christ to let the whole world know that this Jesus you have rejected, I have come to establish my kingdom and rule here for 1,000 years. Second Peter, we're going to do a lot of reading if time permits. Amen. Hallelujah. Second Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. I read from verse 8. Amen. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, amen. Maybe to get the reason he said that is from verse 1. For those who don't read the Bible until they come to church, they don't know what Peter was saying. So let's just get what Peter was saying from verse 1. He said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of their commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And he says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished by the word of God. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, verse 8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. That is, our own 1,000 years, if God is counting his own, is how many days? One day. Anytime you have counted 1,000 years of man's calendar, God is saying, yes, one. That's why I used to tell you, if God says, I will visit you soon, then you say, he says soon. 3 years now, he says soon. So you understand now, he's soon. Amen. His own soon. One day now, one day never finish. When you have spent 30 years, how many minutes of God? So it's coming soon. Just few minutes ago. You are 30 years old now. Just few minutes since he made the promise. Hallelujah. Verse 9. He gave this warning. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And verse 10 is my emphasis. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That day, what will happen? In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements there are everything that is hanging there, including their satellites. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. They shall be burned up. They shall be burned up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, the whole essence of this message, church, is a warning. I've told you, this does not concern you and I going in the rapture. But in case somebody is taking the question of going to heaven lightly, that's just it. Man has her own warning devices. We heard of Hurricane Katrina. You know what the Hurricane Rita, Wilma, and even the, before any hurricane will land any city, man has created gadgets that will spot it coming 2 weeks ahead and begin to warn the people. Hurricane is coming up. See the speed. See the destruction. See the strength. And everybody will begin to prepare. They will tell some people, run, leave this area, go to this area. This is the direction it is following. But do you know some people will see that and run? Others will stay there. Man is always like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Before God will do anything, he has his warning device. His warning device are the prophets. I don't mean brother assembly prophets. I hope you understand. There are dispensational servants of God that God raises for every generation. Prophets, voice of God in every age. What are they there for? To sound warning to the people so that God will not be held guilty that he didn't warn you. So that when the destruction comes, you will know, hey, that the thing which Jeremiah talked with this, hey, so this thing are true. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No. Before he will come, he will always warn. We have a pattern in the Bible. In Genesis 19, he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Hallelujah. He went to somebody there. He went to his own. Remember, this warning is to his own. Amen. If I go out and say this in the street, in evangelism, who will listen to me? That's why I cannot say this in a nightclub. I can't say this in a political rally. If I write it in the newspaper, nobody will read it. Before they will read it, I have to put a naked woman's picture near that article. I hope you understand. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is immorality that attracts them fast. And he went to Lot. And he told Lot the secret. Did others know? It's a type of the bride. Hallelujah. Lot is a type of the bride. There was a secret that Lot and his family knew. Others didn't know. And as soon as he heard what those angels said, the angel there, they're a type of the dispensational ministers that God will raise up to speak to his own, to warn them. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire is going to destroy these cities. Lord, move out. And when you are moving out, don't look back. Amen. I don't want to preach. Let me talk about the day of the Lord. Because I can go off now. Don't look back. Because Christ said, remember, Lord. remember Lot's wife. Why will he remember Lot's wife? She had the opportunity to escape. She had the opportunity to escape. But she was not escaping with her heart. She was escaping with her leg. And so, she was remembering her trinkets, because that type of escape, the angel made sure she didn't live with any of those fashions. Because that's the reason God is going to destroy that city. They became so worldly, they forgot God. You know the meaning of sodomy. That was the last stage of degradation. And God warned his own. They escaped. In Genesis chapter 7, the same thing with Noah. Destruction is coming for the whole world. But he went to his elect and revealed the secret and told him, build an ark. Only those who will enter that ark will be saved. And watch it. He will tell you who will enter that ark. Predestination. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when it was time, oh yeah, you enter. Oh yeah, your three children enter with their wife. Oh yeah, you with your wife enter. Oh yeah, animals. Tutu, ma woman. Oh yeah, enter. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you notice something about that ark? The window was not by the side. Amen. Where was the window? Front up. Amen. Okay, let me not go into all that. But the truth is, he was warned. And Noah told everybody, see, the Bible records, if you calculate, and I have calculated it too, I have confirmed, he preached for 120 years. Only one message. Hey! And as at that time, there was no rain. There was no rain. The Bible says that water will just come out from the ground and just, you know, in the morning you wake up, there will be dew everywhere. That is how plants and vegetation were receiving nourishment. So, now, Noah is saying he had a revelation that rain will fall and then wipe the whole. So, scientists have taken their, they look up, there's no water up. So, this is not talking, this is not just religious people. No. Do you know in this age, even in Nigeria, some professors say there is no God? They call them atheists. A human being will say, deny his maker. Deny his creator. So you created yourself, Abby. Amen. Then you want to use science to say, even the whole world, it was through a bang. And then another down is his own proposition of evolution. You were once, human being were once some form of animals. Then we evolved to one grade, evolved to another grade. Now we have evolved to this grade, and we don't know what next we are evolving to. Amen. 120 years, they refused to listen to him. And you know what happened. Because when God speaks, it comes to pass. It happened the same way. I'm just trying to use that to let you know. Before destruction will come, God will always warn his people, as he said in Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even if you look at Matthew 24, the destruction of Jerusalem, Christ told his disciples. If you read it from verse 15 up to verse 22, when he said, when you see the desolation of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, and he added in bracket, let him that readeth understand. Wherever you are, if you are at the rooftop, don't come down. He gave them a sign, and we know this prophecy came to pass in AD 70. I've explained that several times. But none of those disciples that had that warning was involved. That destruction did not catch up with them. Why? They had the warning and they took it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because 2 Timothy, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And this scripture was quickened to me long time ago, 1990. When that scripture says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study. Study, church, shout study. Say it, be confident. Say study. Say it again. Thank you. He says, study to show thyself approved. Hallelujah. Study what? Study the warning signs. Study the warning signs. Oh, do you know now that man has invented the tsunami's warning device? You know what tsunami is? It's earthquake under the water that gets so violent, and if it happens in Atlantic Ocean, the whole Lagos is gone. But they have now put it there under the sea, and they have an observatory somewhere in the land. 24 hours of the day, somebody is watching. What are you watching? In case, if the thing do biggie, before the thing fully manifests, they will blow alarm. Go to television, go to radio, go everywhere. Run, it will happen. And a bigger tsunami will soon take place on earth. And God's warning device, they are the Bible prophecies. What is the day of the Lord? Write down these scriptures. Isaiah chapter 34. What is the day of the Lord? Isaiah 34, from verse 1 to 10. And Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2. I call it again. Isaiah 34, verses 1 to 10. And Isaiah 61. They are saying the same thing. Verse 2. Calls that day the day of vengeance. That is the day of vengeance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah. Another great prophet in Israel. Chapter 2. Verse 2. Zephaniah saw that same day. All the prophets saw it too. He called it the day of the Lord's anger. The day of the Lord's anger. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 21. Isaiah calls it in this scripture the day to punish the inhabitants of the earth for her iniquities. The day to punish the inhabitants of the earth for her iniquities. That is Isaiah 26, verse 21. And we read a scripture. Let me just let you understand this thing more. When I study this day of the Lord, the way fear catches me, my prayer life, they change. Anytime I listen to this message, Na me preach am, I go play the tape. When I finish preaching it, when I finish listening to the tape, my prayer life will change for like 3 days before I go forget what I hear. Then continue again. Is that not how we do when we come to church? You know that scripture we read, it said, before the coming of the great and dreadful day. The great day was made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. The dreadful day is also being made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. And a story was told to let us understand the great and the dreadful day. A little story was told of a small boy that one day, out of carelessness and things like that, he went and got drowned in a river. The river was, you know, very rough in that portion. Nobody could go to rescue him. And he was certainly destined to die, because anybody that will dash there to carry him, you risk dying. So nobody could attempt to jump into that place. That boy was crying.